Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Look at that, just like that, a week is flowing on by, everybody, and we are back to Sunday night. Welcome to Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Junior here in the Racetime Radio studio and ready to get at it for the next 2 hours. Night two with the champions, some of the champions from across Canada. But what do you think, Junior? This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a good show.
Yeah, it's damn near time to get out there Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
If you haven't already. The malls and the shopping centers are a little bit busy right now this time of year. But time to get after it. Talk to some more champions. Of course, second week back. We had a great show last week talking to a bunch of champions from the NASCAR Pinty Series and as well from Canada's West Coast. And now today we're going to be talking to a bunch of guys from Eastern Canada.
And Western Canada.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to go
right across the country.
Let's see. The furthest away is going to be from Edmonton. We got Kelly Admiral coming on the show. He
Perfect.
Was the WSA Super Late Model Champion at Auto Clearing. No, not Auto Clearing. See, old habits, hard to break. Winnet Group Speedway in Saskatoon is one of the stops, but we'll catch up with Kelly tonight. I guess he is the long haul, if you will. And then we're going to hear from, how about Red River Co-op Speedway? Mike Belkin is going to join us tonight. Mike Belkin.
Absolutely.
Did you know that Mike is Amber's dad?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But, of course, Amber came out of racing sprint cars and dirt late models and stuff like that. Makes complete sense.
It does.
From Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yep.
And I never put two and two together. When you said, I've got Mike Belkin on the line, I was like, I don't know who Mike Belkin is.
No.
I've never heard of him. I said, any relation to Amber Belkin? I think I looked across the couch and said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you did. You did.
But,
and I said, I don't know, but I'm going to find
that's
out.
That's cool. That's
and
neat.
Sure enough, that's Amber's dad. How many championships do you think this guy's got under his belt?
Oh, man, he's got a lot.
Take a wild guess.
Let's go with 6.
Come on. No, I said go wild.
Go wild.
Yeah.
Like, let's go 12.
No. No. Sorry.
All right.
I mean, go wild.
12 is pretty wild.
How about 51?
Come on.
51 championships.
Take that, Michael. Tom Walters.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's wild.
I think, what did Walters top out at? 36? I want to say it was either 36 or 37.
Something like that.
Championships.
Yeah. Yep.
Mike Belkin has got 51 championships.
Attaboy.
Isn't that? That's fantastic.
So if you see the 10 car unload, just don't even unload your car.
Yeah, that number 10 is a bullet.
Yeah.
We're going to catch up with Mike tonight here live on Race Time. We'll also catch up with a guy that we heard a lot throughout the course of the summer. Actually, both guests. We heard a lot from both these guys throughout the course of the summer, and rightfully so. They were winning races. And actually, both of them have got championships now. The number 53 of Cole Butcher, the Parts for Trucks Tour champion, he's a 2-time champion now. He's going to join us off the hop. And J.R. Fitzpatrick, that won the APC championship, we're going to hear from J.R. tonight. He was at the Snowball Derby last weekend and got his eyes full of that. So we'll have to talk to JR and find out how he liked it. Of course, Cole Butcher, also at the Snowball Derby, started that one from the outside pole. Tell me he hasn't had a dynamite season.
Oh, he's had a wild season. Just incredible on both sides of the border. Every time he unloads, he's got a fast race car. And, you know, Cole has done and grown a ton within late model racing and super late model racing itself. And when you look at the races that you know, he has sat on the top of the board, whether it be through practice, through, you know, the race or you know, through qualifying, Cole Butcher has been a force in every single race that he's been at.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that is something that is tough to do and unheard of, and doing it with two separate teams as well, you know, racing with Donnie Wilson and those guys. And, you know, he qualified the outside pole for both the All-American 400 at Nashville.
That's right.
Too. And the outside pole for the Snowball Derby. And then as well, you know, raced with Donnie Wilson for the Oxford 250, you know, of course, raced the IWK 250 and put it on the outside pole for that, I believe. He was second quick, I believe, for the IWK 250. Yeah. But, you know, and he was a factor within the race all the way through.
All the way through.
For just that alone would be a great season for a lot of teams. But he went out there and picked up W after W and it seemed like there was a stretch there where it was Cole Butcher on the East Coast of Canada.
I would say. Yeah, yeah. And he did really good for that Alan Kowicki driver development program. Points-wise, I want to say he finished second in that, but we'll check with Cole.
Yeah, I believe Derek Griffith won it.
Yes.
The 12 car.
Yeah.
12G.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. This weekend, the NASCAR Awards took place at Charlotte. Probably a good thing they did it on Friday, Saturday.
Snowmageddon is down there right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like they're really getting some winter.
Yeah. They got about a foot of snow in the Charlotte area, which, yeah, to put it into perspective,
I live there.
Yeah, they got 12 inches.
Wow.
I lived there for, what, three winters.
Yeah.
Never swept the car off once. Never had more than about 2 inches of snow. And
just to qualify that, though, the snow does melt. If they do get it there, the snow does melt by noon. That's why you didn't have to sweep the front of your car off.
Exactly. Yeah. And you would just sit in the house, you know, because you wouldn't leave. You wouldn't have to. Everything's shut down. A foot of snow would be absolutely crippling.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Like, I mean, incredible, because they've got no snow clearing equipment or nothing. It was funny because our apartment complex shoveled all the laneways. Not shoveled, but pushed all the snow with a table and a lawnmower. Seriously, a fold-up table on the front of a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And that's what they cleared the roadways with. So they're not equipped to handle, you know, a little bit of snow, but, you know, hopefully everybody's safe down there.
If you're a regular listener to Sirius XM, and I know most of you are out there, and you listen to Sirius XM NASCAR radio, they talk about El Supremo all the time. That's Daniel Norwood, and Daniel is the executive producer of Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, and I've known Daniel for quite a few years. We're pretty good friends. We get in touch with one another, I'd say, at least monthly, if not a couple times throughout the course of the month, and it was a few years ago, and the snow was coming down. He's in Gastonia,
yep,
which isn't that far, I guess,
nope,
from Charlotte.
Pretty close.
The snow was coming down, and he said, Joe, you can't believe how much snow. Now, we've got, what, 2.5 feet here,
yeah,
at that time when he's telling me about it. I said, Daniel, please give me a break. You guys are probably trying to worry your way through maybe 4 or 5 inches of snow. It'll be gone tomorrow. Just go back to bed, wake up, and it'll be gone. He said, no, my friend, I'm telling you what, we got like a foot and a half of snow.
Absolutely.
And it was a big time big issue, and I felt real bad for him. I thought, man, it'd be kind of cool if a guy had the means or the way to take a snowblower and ship it down to him. He'd be the only guy on the block with one, but I felt bad for them.
Yeah.
And, they're not used to that weather. And when that stuff comes in, we know what it's like as Canadians up here. That first snowfall of the year, you sort of cringe and maybe, you know, step aside, and we're all kind of used to it. But it does take getting used to that first drive or two throughout the course of the winter. It takes a little bit, even for crafty veterans like us.
We tear some cars up on the highways on you know, with just a few inches of snow, and you know, it's just imagine what it's like if you don't have, you know, the infrastructure put together. Salt on the roads, number one.
Yeah.
You know, just simple snow tires. Yeah. Everybody up here, 90% of us have strapped snow tires on our car, where down there it's nothing to use a set of tires until the cords appear. Well, and definitely not equipped for it.
Well, one of the years we drove to Daytona for Speed Weeks, which is coming up, that February week and a bit to kick off a brand new season is really cool. But the one year we drove to Daytona, you'll remember it, you were in the truck, and we're driving along, coming up through Atlanta, I do believe, on the way home.
Yeah.
The weather was fine on the way down. We hit a little bit of snow on the way down, but it was still in Ontario. We seemed to get across the border at Port Huron, and it was like there was a magical line there because we had snow on the Canada side.
Yep.
Literally drive 2 miles, and there was no snow on the Michigan side.
Yep.
Kind of ironic, kind of weird, but in the same stretch. Where I'm going with this, on the way home from Speed Weeks, coming through Atlanta, the temperature was scheduled to drop down, right? I was watching the weather because I was kind of freaked out. Didn't want to be driving on the interstates in areas that all of a sudden get a surprise snowstorm. I knew what we'd be in for.
Yep.
So we're driving along, and I want to say the temperature dropped down to like 39, 38, 39. And just past Atlanta, just coming out of Atlanta, cars are on the roof. Was guys crashed, and I'm going, what's going on? The temperature's got to be dropping down. I put my window down, stuck my hand out the window to see if it was cold.
Yep.
And it wasn't. Wasn't frozen
hydroplaning.
Yet. Everybody was hydroplaning.
Yeah.
So can you imagine, add some snow to it. If you threw snow at it, man, they'd really have a hard time.
Yeah, most definitely. And the roads are flat down there, right? They don't have the curve that a road does here in Canada.
They're not crowned.
Exactly.
They're actually reverse crown, you will.
Well, yeah, because over time it pounds in and you get like a little bit of a horseshoe in there.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's nothing to run through a little lake, you know, on the interstate when you get some good rain. But it's, you know, hats off to everybody in North Carolina. And you know, I can't feel too bad for them because I've been shoveling for 2 months now, or a month and a half. So,
we've had an early start.
We did. We had quite an early start. This is the second round here. It basically left for a week, and now it's dug its teeth in pretty good. I drive around quite a bit for my job. I work with certified labs through the week, and I drove through Meaford and over in towards Thornbury on Friday. I guess it was Friday or Thursday, but they have a way more snow than we have.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
A lot more over that way?
Absolutely. Yep. I bet they have 4 feet of snow over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Collingwood will really be enjoying this, right?
Oh,
getting the
man.
ski hills open early.
The ski hills are in full force right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
That's good. Good for them.
They've got a tremendous amount of snow.
Well,
so if you're a skier, a snowboarder here in Canada, and you're looking for hills to hit, Blue Mountain, Collingwood, over in that area.
Yeah.
Definitely wide open.
It's got to be good news for the snowcross guys too, right? They're seeing some snow finally at the beginning of the season.
Last couple of years, the snowcross guys have lost a few races right off the top.
Just
from crappy weather, you know.
Well, good to see that the season's starting out the way it should.
Definitely.
Hopefully, it makes for an early spring. And we can get back to doing what we all love doing, too.
Yes, get out there testing in the beginning of March.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be a real good thing.
Yep. I know some of our guests that will try to do that regardless.
Yeah.
But J.R. Fitzpatrick being number one on that list.
Yep.
If there's a clear day in March, there's an 84 car flying around somewhere.
Can't wait to get back into it, right?
Nope, that's right.
Back to what I started to say. Man, I get sidetracked pretty easy. The NASCAR Awards took place at Charlotte.
Yes.
Over the weekend, we've seen LP Dumoulin pick up the hardware for our national championship. Also seen a clip. I didn't tune in early enough. I thought I was on time, but I wasn't. Wayne Walsh from Eastbound International Speedway out in Newfoundland. He was the NASCAR Wheel and All-American champion again this year, so it was his second title, and I missed seeing him pick up his awards. But same thing. You would have had the guys from Sauber, the guys from
Danny Benedict, right? Yeah, Danny Benedict was there, the 54 car from Sunset Speedway. As well, you know, you had Rick Walt from here at Sauber Speedway, who won the championship up here. And then as well, you had guys like, how about this? Number 37, Marvin Freiberger.
Yeah.
Picked up Rookie of the Year.
Did he?
Yeah, well, Rookie of the Year in the late model division at Sauber Speedway and in the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series. So hats off to him. Long shot from a rookie, but he was classed as one this year. So that's pretty cool. It was a great season all in all for the NASCAR guys, and you know, from all the pitchers that I seen, you know, all the Pinty's guys getting together down there, it's wild, because a big event like that makes you want it so much more. And sure, if you look at the tweets from everybody congratulated Dumoulin. You know, they said congrats to the Dumoulin team, but you could tell that each one of them, it hurts a little bit, you know, to go to that big event, see him up on the big stage. They want to be that guy. They want to be that guy, and it instills a big fire in the belly of everybody that's not the champion from all those different divisions, because they do it upright. It's a big banquet.
Yeah. I was really impressed, and I am every year, but to watch it, I watched it on fanschoice.tv.
Yep.
Great coverage. They had a red carpet at the beginning and everything. I missed all of that, but I did end up catching the NASCAR Pinty stuff and some of the, well, I've seen the K&N. Derek Thorne was the K&N West winner. Man, that guy's good. He's not only good behind the wheel, but he can really chat it up too. He did a great job with his speech. Seen the NASCAR Mexican, the Euro Series, seen the champion there. Another one did a great job on his speech. And then into the K&N West or East.
Yep.
And it was very enjoyable, great to watch, and I can understand what you're saying. Anybody sitting in that room, and there had to be 700-800 people in that room, sitting in that room and watching the champions go up and get their hardware would only make you want to say, next year, that's me.
Yes, you know? 100%. And, you know, from everybody that I've heard of or heard from, you know, that have been to that event and been to the banquet itself and you know, taking it in, it puts a fire in your belly to get back there. Even if you are the champion, you want to get back there, because they treat you like royalty for a full week down there.
Yeah.
And NASCAR, there's no expenses spared. You get to go and experience things that you don't dream of, you know, racing at your local home track in Sauber Beach, Ontario, or in Newfoundland or in Minnesota.
Right.
You know, they take you to places that you don't really, you know, dream of going, and you get behind the scenes tours at race shops, and you know, you get into the R&D and the technical side of it. It's not just a fan trip where you know you go around and collect souvenirs. It's taking back memories. And but you know, when you look at Dumoulin and his group, second kick at the can. But NASCAR has came a long way since, you know, where they were when Dumoulin last won it.
Sure.
And you know, you could tell they were all pretty fired up. But I seen a cool image of Cole Powell. Of course, he picked up the hard charger award in the Pinty Series down there, you know, passing the most amount of cars throughout the season, which is pretty cool, you know, from a rookie.
I missed all that.
And then as well, Brett Taylor coming home with the Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Pinty Series. That's a big honor
for
CBRT and for the 46 of Brett Taylor. So just a good time all in all. You know, it'll be interesting to see who stands up there next year.
Yeah. Oh, well, and you know, everybody's the preparations and plans to be that guy are already well underway.
Yep.
Yeah, guys are getting their stuff all geared up and ready. It's going to be exciting. We're going to continue along the same route we're going right now. We've got one more show before we take a holiday. We're going to shut her down for Christmas and New Year's, and then we'll be back in 2019 and have a full season for you. But we're going to continue with the champions next week.
Yep.
I already told you who we got coming on tonight. We're going to get them started here in a couple of moments. But I want to let you know, next week, we've already got arranged. We're going to have the Oscar Modified Champion on. He's going to join us. I've got some other ones laid out as well. I'll have to go through and have a look at it. But we've still got more to add to the list.
Absolutely.
A lot of great champions from across Canada. And there's a bunch of them. We want to try and get on as many as we can before we shut her down for the holidays. And just celebrate it. And then when we get into the new year, we're going to preview what's coming. We'll get ready for Speed Weeks, of course. We'll get ready for the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing and everything that's going to take place at Volusia County Speedway on dirt. We'll get you prepared for all that, and we'll get you prepared for what you're going to see on the short tracks here in Canada in 2019. And man, we got our work cut out for us, because there's going to be a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, definitely. And by the sounds of it, you know, the rumor mill is always strong, and you know, you're talking to a racer and you hear five things that are true, and you hear 10 things that aren't of what's coming down the pipe, right?
Right.
And it's been like that, you know, since I was a little kid within motorsports here in Canada. You know, whether it be the Pinty series, or whether it be, you know, your local late models, or you know, your traveling touring series, you always hear a lot of rumors. And this year is, I don't know what it is, but it is second to none on the rumor scale.
Right. There's lots happening.
There is a lot happening. There's a lot of balls up in the air right now. And the big thing is, it's not as much rumors. It's about things that, you know, people are asking, what is going to happen with this, or what's going to happen with that. And, you know, having the conversation just in a race shop just last night, man, there's a lot of things that are unknown, but cool things that are happening for next year. And, you know, it'll be really interesting. Obviously we'll talk about the, I don't know how many Canadians we're going to see at Speed Weeks this year.
Yeah.
With the dollar being the way that it is, it's a very difficult
Who
way.
Who knows?
But, you know, by the sounds of it, there's a couple of Canadian teams that are putting efforts together to get down there and take another kick at the can on the World Series side, you know, for New Smyrna. But it'll be interesting to see what all takes place. And I think once we get to the other side of the new year, that's when stuff really starts to fall. Of course, APC came out with their schedule already.
Yeah.
The Parts for Trucks Tour, have they announced?
No schedule
so no
yet.
No schedule yet for them. No
but
schedule
it's
yet for the Pinty series. See,
and that surprised me, too.
I thought they were on it.
Couple of years,
yeah.
We've got the Pinty schedule right at the banquet.
Yes.
So I kind of took for granted that it was going to be this weekend. The K&N East schedule is out, but we haven't seen the West one yet. At least I haven't.
Yep.
But the NASCAR Pinty's series, so they must be doing still some more work on that series, the schedule to lay it out.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. I can guarantee it's going to be an exciting one.
I have a gut feeling that, and from everyone and everybody that I've talked to, it's going to be a very similar schedule for the Pinty series in 2019 and 2020 to what we've seen this past season.
Yeah.
I don't foresee any major changes. Like, you know, I don't see any races going away. And
no.
I don't really see any races being added to that list. But
well, if it was that easy, I would have to say that we would have seen that schedule already.
But from everybody that I've talked to that has, you know, some sort of knowledge on what's happening, I don't think that they're adding, you know, any specific race.
Right.
It's not like they're adding distance to the schedule. And
that we know of.
Yeah, exactly.
That we know of.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Otherwise, it would be out.
I know APC took a swing this year.
Yeah.
They swung for the fences this year. I think that there's a massive change to the APC schedule and how
it's
you
cool.
race. And
it's cool.
I think that it is cool. I think there's a lot of unknowns that the APC schedule kind of provides. And I know that it gives 1 month. It's almost like a hell tour here in Canada because
sure.
it's going to be busy.
Yep,
those
you're going to be on it.
Those boys are going to be clicking off some laps within a month and a bit. Of course, with the double at Sauble Speedway and a mid-race or a mid-week race at Jucasa. But outside of that, the schedule looks great. And it looks great because of those as well. I love it.
I can't wait till the new year and we can dive into all the schedules. We'll have everything laid out and we're going to get absolutely as many fan opinions as we can get in
100%.
Throughout that course. And can't wait to do that. But we're going to hit this break, Junior. When we come back, we're going to grab Cole Butcher. We'll talk to him about everything that took place in 2018, including his Parts for Trucks Tour Championship and all the other activity Cole Butcher had going on. We'll catch up with him next year, live tonight on Race Time. Stay right there. We will be back in just a moment.
Hey, race fans, this is Jason White, NASCAR Series. You're listening to Race Time Radio on Hardcore Sports.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock. Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25, Classic Rewind brings you the second generation. Classic Rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM. Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
I'm Amber Mack.
I'm Michael B.
Every week on The Feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The Feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talk.
Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me?
I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Where's the Tylenol?
Where's the Tylenol?
Too much.
It's not Christmas until you see Chevy Chase do that.
Yeah.
You see the dude fall off the tower in Die Hard.
Yeah.
And you got to watch Elf.
Absolutely. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time. Getting close to Christmas, so I thought I better slide something like that in. But let's get to the hotline and let's bring in that first guest of the night. We should have them all lined up. We have Cole Butcher. What's going on there, champ?
Oh, not much. Yourself?
We're just having a blast in the studio, my friend. What a season for you this year. Man.
Yeah, we were busy. We did 15, I think, or 16 races, and we were able to get 5 victories and a handful of podium finishes between here and down south. We just came back from the Snowball Derby with a 9th-place finish. It's pretty respectable for only being there 3 times. We started a little tired in the first half of the race, so that put us behind the 8-ball for pretty well the remainder of the race. So we were able to get back on the lead lap and get a top 10 finish, and we'll work on it for next year, and hopefully we'll be able to get a victory.
Cole, back-to-back races down there. Obviously, this is the Night of Champions on RTR, and we're going to spend some time talking about your championship in the Parts for Trucks Tour. But we got to touch on the stuff that's kind of right hot, fresh off the press, I guess, right now. You know, you came off, you got an amazing starting spot for the great or the All-American 400 at Nashville before it got rained out. And then, of course, you got, you know, a mere second-place starting position for the Snowball Derby. What was the reception like when you got second place down at Nashville versus when you got second place at the Derby after qualifying? Because you laid down great laps in both. I imagine that your stock in the pit area went up a little bit after you got the second spot at the Derby.
Yeah, everybody was happy. You know, it's just nice to be up there, get out of the carnage. We've been pretty good at qualifying. I'm not really sure why, because we don't really qualify anywhere. It's like I qualify two times a year, and you know, it's just all about working in your tires, just laying down a lap. So, you know, everybody was happy at the pits, and I was happy with myself. And, we started second. We didn't really finish where we wanted to, but we're working. We're making little gains, and you know, a couple more races, we'll be up there and racing for the lead with the big guys, but. You know, our qualifying efforts are really good. Donnie Wilson Motorsports has been giving me really good cars and race trim and qualifying trim. So we just got to put it all together, and we'll get a victory one of these days.
So the 53 that you had at the Derby and the All-American 400, that isn't the 53 that you run on in Canada's East Coast, right?
Yes, that's correct. I race his cars whenever I go home to North Carolina, and I race my own cars at, you know, the Maritimes, Oxford, and so on. But if we're down south racing the All-American or maybe even Hickory or Pensacola, I'd be in his ride.
Yeah, he's got to be kicking his butt, man, because he's given you really good hardware to race with. The 53 car, man, it worked real good. You got to know where to point it and how to do it. So says a lot about the driver. But definitely the cars you're getting in are very competitive race machines.
Yeah, they're high-quality machines. You know, they don't go to the track without being at 100%. I know Donnie, he always gives me the best of the best. And, you know, we're in equal equipment. He has the same gear that I have and vice versa. So he's been saying he's the guinea pig. But we'll see. But next year I'm looking forward to doing it. We're doing about five races with them in the new year, and hopefully we'll get the victories with them because, you know, they had a rough season last year with a couple of rent race cars. But at the end of the year, we came home with two complete race cars at Snowball Derby in top ten.
Yeah,
two top ten finishes, so hopefully next year will be better.
The Kawicki program has got to be very excited that you were part of that program as well, because you definitely turned some heads. And you shed a lot of light on the program that they've got going there.
Yeah, that's right. I know Tom there was in a couple of other people that are a part of the board. I never really got to speak with Tom. It was a busy week and a lot of stuff going on. But I know they were all looking at us, and we were just making Alan proud, just racing hard and putting us second on the board and qualifying. So he would have been happy with that. And you know, Derek Griffiths was there also, one of the Kawicki members. So we all made the race, you know. We did our part to make Alan proud, and that's what it's all about.
You want to believe it. Dynamite stuff, Cole Butcher. It was a dynamite year for you all the way around. Let's jump into the championship now, shall we? The Parts for Trucks Tour. This was your second title coming out of the tour on Canada's East Coast, and, man, it's a tough, tough deal to not only win a race, but to go out there and back up a championship has got to be even tougher. How was the year for you? Were you concentrating on that title, or were you just sort of letting the cards fall wherever they fall?
Well, you know, just points take care of themselves. I was just there to win races and, you know, just be competitive. And, you know, we were able to win four races with the Pro Stock Tour, PEI, Petty, Scotia, and I believe that was all. But, you know, we've won the championship three of the last 2 years, and we lost it all. It's pretty cool. You know, we're one of the top teams right now, along with Blinkhorn, Purple, Sonley, you know, all those, the top guys. But, you know, it's been a weird season. You know, Blinkhorn had all of his brake problems, and with a handful, with like five races to go, he gave me the brake problems, and then he started winning. It was just a weird season.
So as I know that you are a very technical guy. You're not a guy that just shows up with your helmet and straps into the race car, goes and puts numbers up, and then goes home. You're hands-on with your team, and you turn a lot of the wrenches yourself. You and your brother and your dad, of course, and your team work together, but you do a lot in the shop week in and week out. As a technical guy, obviously the brake problems toward the end of the season is going to score right at the top of the chart. But where do you need to improve for next year to get even better from where you were this season?
Honestly, I think you just got to keep doing what you're doing. I think a lot of people, they get trying different things and they get behind. But, you know, I try to stay on the same program and just make it better instead of going off in another direction, because, you know, if you go off into another direction, it may not work for 4 or 5 weeks, and you're just going to be behind. So I just stay on the same road, and, you know, usually when it's open, I may try a couple things here and there, but, you know, you stay with what works.
Do you learn much from racing with Donnie and the stuff that you're doing down south? Does it apply to your program in the 53 when you get back up here?
You know, it does a little bit, but, you know, they run Hampi cars, we run distance racing cars. So, you know, we're all getting to the same place. We may just do it a little bit different. You know, for example, we were running a track star down there during practice, and then we put our new practice tires on. They were 2 months old. They didn't have enough curing time on them, so we struggled with that all day. And the next day we locked the rear end up, which is the same as at home, so... You know, it's kind of nice being locked up with a spool because you know what to expect. And we went faster. And honestly, half the field was locking their rear ends up for some reason. But, you know, just little stuff like that, playing with stagger, you can relate to it a little bit more. And it just gives you a little bit more comfort.
Yeah, good stuff. And that's always important, right? When you're in that car, you want to be as comfortable as possible. I don't know whether I read it through one of your tweets or whether it was through Tim Terry's on timscorner.ca. I read somewhere, at least I think I did. You know me, Cole, getting a little bit older. I'm starting to lose it. But I do believe I read somewhere that you may not be doing a full season in the Parts for Trucks Tour next year. Please tell me that I read something the wrong way.
As of right now, I'm going to race by race. I know we're going to do a handful of races with Donnie Wilson. My main focus right now is my brother. So, you know, I'm going to probably miss the first race just so I can get the points out of the way. And I'm just going to race whenever I really want to race. And if I want to go to Oxford, I'm going to go to Oxford. Because, you know, between the IWK 250, the Snowball Derby, and the Oxford 250, those are my main focuses right now. So we're going to focus on them. I mean, the tour, they do a great job. And, you know, we support them 100%, but, you know, sometimes you got to do things a little bit different.
So Jarrett will be going the full season next year. Maybe you're just there to support him for one, and then you'll race against him?
Yeah, that's the plan. Right now, say, for instance, I'm going to help as much as possible, but I think we're going to do a couple of different races. I may be on the same weekend, so maybe in Berlin or Pensacola or someplace. Well, he's a petty, so... You know, we'll see what happens, but that's our schedule right now. It's focusing on him for the 2019 Maritime Pro Stock Touring Champion, and we're just going to go win for wins and have fun.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, Cole. You've earned the right to be able to do all of that. Are we going to see you maybe in a, you know, like a truck, or can we see you maybe in an Xfinity car? Do you have any aspirations to, you know, get up and try one of NASCAR's top three?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, we've been talking about it for a while, but it really just comes down to money and how much money you want to spend. I mean, you could spend as much money until you're blue, but really, at the end, is it going to be worth it? I mean, I don't want to put my sponsors or my family in debt because we want to go race. And I mean, I have a great opportunity to take over my father's company one day. So, you know, right now, that's what I'm focusing on. And, you know, I'm happy with super late models. It'd be cool to do a truck race just to say you did it, but right now with my where we're at and where we live, it's not really realistic, I would say.
Right. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, bud. Concentrating on what the future holds is going to enable you to be able to race and do what you want to do. But definitely somebody's got to pay the bills, and at some point it's going to be you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Jukasa has already got the Short Track Nationals announced. We know the date now. Is there a chance we're going to see you maybe at the Short Track Nationals this year?
Yeah, we were supposed to last year, but between that and the IWK 250, it was a little bit hard. But you know, we have a brand new distance racing car coming, so it'll make it easier for us to go from Oxford to Jukasa. So right now, it's the plan to go. Anything changes, you guys will be the first to know. But as of right now, it's on the schedule.
Sounds good, my man. And how did you make out selling the cars that you had up for sale? I know I seen a couple of beautiful looking 53 cars that were up for sale. Did you sell them? And is that why we've got new stuff coming in?
No, they're still for sale. Actually, I got a little impatient and I tore them both of them down. I got them repowdered, so I think I'm gonna race them. So I got three cars right now. Jared has one. We're just gonna go race.
Having a backup car is never a bad thing. You can hang it out a little bit more in practice. I know it's expensive when you tear one up in practice, but it just you can go balls out now in practice, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I've never seen Cole back off anything, including practice. This guy
right.
Here hammered down whenever he's on the racetrack. Quite a season for you. What is your personal highlight of the year? Can you pick a day? Can you pick a moment that impressed even you, Cole?
I mean, you could say winning the Pro Stock Tour Championship was your highlight, but honestly, probably outside pole, the Snow Law Derby, kind of impressed myself. I mean, you're up against pretty high-name guys like Noah Gregson, Ty Majeski, Bubba Pollard. So for us to out-qualify them, it was pretty cool.
Absolutely. That's one that'll be a hard one to top. Now, that All-American 400 did have weather trouble. I know initially there was talk around April in that race coming back online, but it was real early and it was only speculation. Have you heard when that race will be made up?
Yeah, I think we're going racing April 12th and 13th, I believe, right now.
Yep.
At the fairgrounds.
That's cool. So you'll be able to get into that one and start that one from the outside pole as well, right?
Well, we got to requalify.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You got to requalify.
Yeah,
that's all right. You can get the pole this time. You get the pole this time. You know where you gave up those couple thousandths of a second, right?
I do. Yeah.
And you're not going to tell us where they were.
Well, we were watching Darfish, and I know what we had to do.
10-4.
Yeah, you'd have it all figured out. So that's it for racing for 2018, right? We've only got, another 3 weeks, and the calendar's going to predict and tell you that it's over. But is that it for you? Everything now switches to 2019?
Yeah, we still have the Kawiki banquet next Thursday, and then we go away to Punakana or somewhere like that for Christmas. But right now we're building race cars for 2019 to get my brother ready for the tour and myself ready for wherever we want to go. So that's our focus right now. We're just waiting for the tour schedule to come out and pass. CRA schedule just came out. So we're just putting our schedules together and, as soon as everything is released, we'll have it all on our Butcher Racing Facebook page, and everybody will be able to see what our 2019 plans are.
Yeah, and I know there's a pile of people that are waiting to see where you're going to show up. You got a lot of race fans out there that are definitely following the 53, and it's going to be exciting. Any legend car stuff? I know you love legend racing. You going to do any legend racing?
I'm not myself. I know Shelby's coming back with us next year with the legend car, so he'll be tearing it up in the legend car series and hopefully getting another championship for us. But as of right now, we're sticking with super late models, and maybe if he wants to be in a practice or something, I'll get into it. But, you know, that's his deal right now, and I don't want to affect it.
Do you guys get a deal on red paint? Because everything that's Butcher is the same red. Do you guys get a deal on red paint?
It's all vinyl. We'll wrap a red body red if we had to. Just make sure it's Viper red.
That's right. Is it? Is that what it is? It's Viper red?
It's supposed to be Viper red. It's like, I don't remember what it is. It's supposed to be Viper red. It's some some fancy name for Viper Red, we'll say.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, hats off to you guys because they're all beautiful. Every time a butcher car hits the racetrack, it's gorgeous, and you can tell it's a butcher car because it's the exact same color.
Now, will Jarrett, what's his car going to look like for next year? Is he going to adopt the red car?
I don't know. Right now he's throwing around paint schemes. I like the red with the black numbers that he raced the last race of the year. But it's up to him. He likes the wide body just so it stands out a little bit. But we'll see what the boss has to say. And I guess you'll find out the first race of the year.
Yeah, you guys will keep it under wraps, too. You won't show anybody anything.
I won't. He probably will.
Yeah. Good stuff, Cole. This has been great catching up with you tonight. I can't tell you how much we enjoyed watching you all year, reporting on you, and having you on Racetime Radio. You're one of those guys we can count on. All we do is contact you, and it's always a yes. We appreciate it, and I know the listenership does as well.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me, and hopefully you guys have a great Christmas and New Year's.
Absolutely. We'll do the same, and you guys do the same thing there. We look forward to seeing what your plans are for 2019. We'll get you back on here in the new year, and we'll share it with everybody.
Perfect. We'll talk to you in the new year.
You want to believe it? That's Cole Butcher, yeah, a two-time champion of that Parts for Trucks Tour out on Canada's East Coast. Also had a pile of success in pretty well whatever he jumped in, Junior. Good season.
Yeah, definitely a great season, and weather seemed to follow him around a little bit. Obviously, you know, with the rain that fell at the All-American 400, didn't get a chance to get that in, and then weather was a big factor down at the Snowball Derby, of course, for practice times and the entire weekend, really. The weather portion seemed to follow him around, but still, you know, he laid down numbers that really, we haven't seen a Canadian lay down in a long time.
Right,
you know, when's the last time we had a Canadian on the outside pole at the Derby or a Canadian on the outside pole at the All-American 400? You know, just he laid down some great numbers. You know, he's doing it the right way, and he's building a name for himself, you know, like no other. And one thing that I've got to give a big shout-out to, and I wish he was still on the line, you know, following along on Twitter during the Snowball Derby week, during the All-American 400 week, he has somebody that looks after his social media.
Yeah.
And hats off to him for the way that they do it, because, you know, they keep you right up to speed with what Cole Butcher Racing is doing.
Yeah.
And they do a great job with it. There's photos, there's interaction, there's, you know, a complete breakdown of what he's doing, what the team is doing, and really don't see a whole lot of that. And for how easy it is today for somebody to hand over their phone, hand over their password to their social media, and have somebody, you know, follow along
and do it
and do
take
it.
Care of it.
Yeah, yep. Do the public relations aspect of it. It goes a long way. You know, we talk about them a lot because there's a lot of data and there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about that happens throughout the course of the weekend. And, you know, it makes it easier for us,
sure.
but it also, you know, he's building a fan base, and it's through doing what he loves to do. And it's not through going out and spending a pile of money to go race trucks or to
right.
go race ARCA and allowing the TV to build your name up, which seems to be the way that a lot of, you know, guys that race super late models want to go. And, you know, he's the type of guy, he's going to go out there and win, and, you know, they'll make the decision on where he goes after that. And, you know, you can hear the hunger in his voice. He wants that Oxford 250. He's been going
he
down
does.
There for quite a few years.
Yep.
Both as a fan and as a driver. And, you know, he wants that Snowball Derby. You can hear it. He wants that All-American 400. Being the champion in the Parts for Trucks Tour, that's the time when you can get out and stretch your legs and go after some goals. Because the next time he shows up at a Parts for Trucks Tour race, he's a two-time champ. You know, he's still going to be a two-time champ. Nobody's going to take that away from him. So,
no.
You know, hats off to him and getting after it. I think that there is a massive door open right now, you know, to create another star or another two stars, really, in the Parts for Trucks Tour. You know, you're seeing Dylan Blankhorn and as well Cole Butcher both saying that, hey, we're going to scale back next year potentially, and we're going to race a few times, but not go after the championship, right? We had Dylan Blankhorn on right after the end of the year, and he mentioned the same thing while he was on the boat.
Company, right?
Exactly.
He's a busy guy.
Exactly. So, you know, I with those two guys going part-time, it allows for a change of a guard, really. Those two guys were the class of the field every time they unloaded consistently, week in and week out. Obviously, the Parts for Trucks Tour's got their staples, their Donald Chisholms, their John Flemings, their Craig Swanwhites.
Right.
And really, you know, the Greg Prouds of the world and Kent Vincents, they've got their staples. But really, the two dominant guys were Dylan and Cole.
Yep,
and,
they were this year.
And,
yep.
You know, you've got that opportunity for somebody to get out there like a Jared Butcher, like a, you know, what's Rory's son's name? The 13 King Freight.
Rolly's grandson. He's coming through the ranks.
Exactly.
He's going to be exciting.
Yes.
Yep.
But you know, you've got a bunch of young talent that's stepping into the series, you know, and you've got that opportunity to take over where Cole and Dylan are currently.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I find it really, really hard to believe that we won't see Dylan Blankhorn on a full-time basis in the Parts for Trucks Tour. I know that's what he told us. He, you know, the thought is in there that he may not be going full tilt.
You'll see him at some races.
Well, I'm kind of thinking, though, and you see him once, you're going to see him from then on. We've seen Jeff Hanley here in the province of Ontario a number of times with his super. He purposely missed the first race so that he wasn't part of the points. And I interviewed him quite a few times and said, Jeff, you missed that first race, man. Look at what you would have had you been at that first race. He said, yeah, I'd been crazy because I don't like points racing. It drives me nuts.
Yep. He likes going for wins.
It is. Yeah, he goes for the wins.
And
but
I have been a firm believer of this statement forever. And you look at it, the crowning achievement of a race car driver is championships.
Sure it is.
Right? That's the crowning achievement is getting the championship trophy in whatever series, whatever track event that you race. But to me, checkered flags mean more than winning championships. And I do not like to watch points racing ever.
No.
I've never liked, you know, there's been a handful of points races that I have got absolutely excited for.
Well,
and I mean, like, from the Cup Series down, there's never been that many points races that I've been stoked or jacked up to see.
When the points are tight and that close race is going to make a difference,
yeah,
they're really exciting. You can't get any better.
But when
the points are separated,
yeah,
then nothing's going to change it other than the win.
But and I agree with that, but really we work all season to get down to the championship for every division, right? And you look at the NASCAR model right now, you know, the top three with their chase, with their elimination. And, you know, at the end of the day, you've got four guys that unload at Homestead and they can win the race.
Right.
All four guys are still points racing and everybody around them is points racing. You know, they don't want to wreck the top four guys. They don't want to be that guy to drive in to put their car in a position. But you go to a big race, like I'm going to say Jukasa, like the even the you know, a big race like you used to have
the
at Sauble.
IWK.
No, it's a points race.
It is a points race,
and you have to race that. If you're racing, if you're one of the top 20 guys in the Parts for Trucks Tour, you have to race that race like it is a points race. And if you go in there and wreck one of
you're trying to go after the points. I see what you're saying.
But also, if you're coming into that series, or if you're coming into that race, and you know, that's one thing that I love about the Snowball Derby is that there's no points on the line. The only thing that matters is the checkered flag at the end.
Yeah.
That gets me excited. And I love races like that. One-off races that aren't points driven.
Okay.
And I think that Cole Butcher it feels the same way, obviously, and wants to go out there and get those big one-offs.
Well, we'll continue this conversation in just a moment, but we got to hit this break. Stay with us. We will be back. Still lots to come tonight. More champions guaranteed.
Toyota. Hey, race fans, this is the number 22, Jill George, World of Outlaw late model driver. Racetime Radio will be right back.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr. Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live. Things are moving along here tonight. We've got Kelly Admiral is going to join us here in just a couple of moments. But we are going to have to throw it back to Toronto here shortly for the news and highlight package. And then we're going to have Kelly Admiral on. We'll also have Mike Balkin and J.R. Fitzpatrick. So it's going to be a busy hour number two, Junior.
Yeah, for sure. And a little bit of a news update for everybody that's sitting around watching the Snowflake 100, which is, of course, happening right now live. It wasn't supposed to rain all day. It started raining with 20 laps to go in the modified race.
Tell me they haven't they're had doing, their weather trouble.
They're
this
doing
year.
A driver's meeting right now to come up with a plan. It hasn't rained in the past hour. They're trying to get the track dry, but they're having a driver's meeting just in case they can't get the track dry in time. They haven't dropped the green yet. You haven't missed anything on the Snowflake 100 side, but by the looks of it, they're having a cold, rainy, wet day down there, and that's a tough go for those guys.
Tough. Well, it's the time of the year, right? Florida always has beautiful weather, but you really got to watch it in December. Things can go south, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
But they're also, you know, up the top side of the panhandle. So it's considerably further north than, you know, your Daytonas or your Miamis.
Yeah.
It's way up north and definitely a little bit chilly this time of year as well.
Sure is. We'll keep you up to date. I know Junior will have his phone going. We'll keep you up to date as much as we can, as well as the guests that are coming up in hour number two. But we are going to pitch it back to Toronto, get you up to date on, it takes like 90 seconds, but you'll be a lot smarter on the other side of it. And then we will be back for hour number two tonight, live on Race Time. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in just a second.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things
big run.
Racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight. It is Champions Night number two as well. And so glad you could tune in. And if you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com on our live stream, welcome aboard. Or how about Sirius XM channel 167 every Sunday night right here. We also want to welcome in the listeners of 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, and, of course, our friends at the Performance Motorsport Network.com throughout the course of the week. Hello and welcome to you. But let's get to the hotline. We'll bring in another one of those champions. This guy hauls from Edmonton, Alberta, and he makes his way to Saskatoon, and he flies around that beautiful speedway. He is the champion of the WSA Super Late Models. We have Kelly Abro with us, driver the number 8. What's going on, Kelly? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic, my man. Hey, sounds like it was a dynamite season to be in behind the wheel of that number 8, bud.
Yeah, absolutely it was. You know, we had a lot of good luck and had a lot of things go our way this year, and able to win 5 out of the 7 races and podium in another, and you know, it's just incredible. No, honestly, it was an amazing season.
Kelly, forgive me for my ignorance here, but were all the races in Saskatoon, or did you guys tour around a bit?
So 5 of the races were in Saskatoon, and then we had 2 races at Edmonton International Raceway, just outside Wetaskiwin, Alberta.
Right, right. Been there. Love that little racetrack, and they've done so much with it. Loretta and her husband, Ron, they've done a lot with that racetrack too, over the years, right, to bring it up. It's a wicked fast short track.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a few years ago they repaved, and so with that new surface, the track's much quicker now, and it's a lot more fun to race there.
Unreal. Well, it was a good year for you. You had a lot of winning. What can you attribute that winning to? Did you guys do something different in the off season? Did you try something? Was it a new car? What's the deal?
It's the same old car, same old left-hander that I run. I think what it came down to is just the sheer dedication that my guys and my crew had this year, and you know, I've always believed, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that the championships are won in the shop. Sorry, not at the track. And I think, you know, the people supporting me really proved that this year.
Well, and you know, put those cars together, and the dedication on the crew behalf is paramount to winning not only a race but to win a championship. You got to have everything going the right way. Everybody's got to be pulling on that rope at the same time. But it sure helps when you got a guy behind the wheel that's as dedicated as the crew is. When you get out there, there's no doubt you got not even split second decisions to make. They're coming at you rapid fire at times, and sometimes you can make the wrong move, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've definitely made a lot of those bad moves in throughout my racing career, and I think this year it's just, by some sort of magic or willpower, we just seem to make the right moves. And I got lucky enough that my reactions and the moves I'd make on track ended up being the right ones to, you know, to stay out of those wrecks and not let attrition gobble us up during the races, you know, especially when we're going for a championship. You really need those good, consistent finishes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? You got to make sure that you're not part of that wreck. You got to stay out of it. And it's hard to do sometimes, especially if you're trying to win. You got to put the car sometimes in harm's way. They're calculated risks, but there's only so much calculating that can be done.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to call it, you know, holding fast. Trying to teach myself to be patient. I know as a race car driver, that's pretty tough. You know, the helmet goes on and the brain sometimes turns off, right? And so being aggressive when I should be, and, you know, really picking those times of when to attack and, you know, when to lay off a bit and conserve tires, and knowing, seeing the, you know, the battles ahead of you, and being able to, know whether or not those guys might get into each other and you might be in a bad situation. And so laying back in those ones, or, you know, recognizing a battle that's in front of you that you might be able to take advantage of.
Kelly, obviously looking at you know, your racing pedigree and history, the Admiral Race Team has done a pile of different races and a pile of different series and all the different things that you've taken part in, from, you know, looking into the K&N series, the Xfinity series, and then as well, you know, basically everything here in Canada. Looking at this season and what you guys have got coming down the pipeline, where do you guys score your race team at right now? Give yourself a grade. Obviously, a championship, you got to get an A for that. But overall, the race team, where do you need to make improvements?
That's a tough question. I like it. I think that's something that we're still discussing and figuring out. I think still we need to work on pre-race preparation. We were good this year, but we could be a lot better. And there's some things set up wise and whatnot, things that we can do in the car, and having stronger game plans for coming to the track, and being able to implement them. I think that's something that we could really work on. It's just being more prepared. We were prepared this year, but you can always. It never hurts to be too prepared, you know.
Absolutely. 100%. Looking at the season, kind of take us through race by race, how the season transpired this year, from race one, kind of a highlight reel, if you will, of the races and how they played out. Because obviously you guys, there's a very diverse, set of tracks there. Wyatt Group, you can really stretch the legs on a race car, especially in a super late model. And then a real tight bullring out in Edmonton. There's not many similarities between the two.
Yeah, exactly. And so the first race for us went really well, obviously, winning it. And I think we built off the momentum of the 2017 season. We finished, or we tied for the runner-up in the championship. We tied with Matt Shirley. Trent Seidel ended up winning that year. And so we won the last race of the season, and we built on that momentum coming into the first race. And, we qualified poorly. All weekend, the speed just wasn't there. And decided, we got to put the car in position at the end of the race and to really save. We knew we weren't the fastest car that weekend, so we knew we were going to have to rely on that long-run speed and that longevity. And, that's honestly been the case pretty much every race. So, we weren't always the quickest in practice. And I think one of the things that really helped us out this season is during practice, of course, we wanted to focus on ultimate speed and, getting that number one lap time. But a big shift that I had was, focusing on the end of a practice run and focusing on how the car felt once everything was up to temp and not just, those two or three quick laps. I was looking at how the car was at the end of the run when things, when you started losing a bit of grip and the car started slowing down, and adjusting the car based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this, the setup changes between Lion Group Raceway and Edmonton International Raceway. Surprisingly, weren't that drastic. We tried a new Joe's Racing. What are those spring preloaders?
Okay.
Put that in the right rear, and it seemed to really liked it at Lion Group Raceway, but at Edmonton International, you know, it's it really didn't like it, and so we had to go back to, you know, conventional spring in the right rear. But other than that, you know, in a smaller sway bar, it was pretty similar. You know, our car is just, we just had that front end geometry, you know, pretty close, and you know, that was where we found that speed for both tracks, was focusing on that front end.
Yeah, and it would come right to you, right? As soon as you hone in on that one spot, it would start coming to you, and away you go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're you know, the Lion Group Raceway is a much bigger track, but it's still a short track, right? And so you're really just fighting on mechanical grip and finding that. And so that's, you know, I think that's why we're able to be successful at both tracks. And, you know, my worst finish of the year came at Edmonton International Raceway, finishing seventh. And for that second race, that's when we learned, you know, to switch to a different spring package for that right rear. And it really seemed to work. We were able to make the pass for the lead and ultimately the win on the outside of that tight quarter mile O-ring. And, you know, the car was just on rails that night. And same with the last race. You know, it's we put a lot of preparation, and thankfully we got postponed two weekends, you know, due to weather after that last race. And so we had that race at the end of September, and so we had a lot of time to prepare for that one and, you know, make sure the car was perfect. And it was pretty cold that weekend. Qualifying actually got snowed out. The weather held back, and we were able to get the race in, and that was the fastest car I've had all year, was that last race. The car is just hooked up completely, and it was just incredible. We kind of just walked away with that one, but you know, still had to battle throughout the race. We went into that race, the last one, a point behind Tyler Eamond in the championship points, since we knew that it was a must-win situation for us. And that was kind of the story for us all year long, is just battling with Tyler Eamond, the 15-year-old out of Leduc, Alberta. You know, a wicked up-and-coming racer. You know, showed a lot of maturity and a lot of a lot of raw talent this year, and had a lot of fun battling with him all year long. He ended up winning the local championship at the Lion Group Raceway, so you know, he definitely deserved that. You know, he's shown a lot of skill and a lot of class in his driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. It was a really fun season, racing with him and racing with everyone else there.
We're with Kelly Admiral. Tonight he is the champion with the WSA series out of Saskatoon, raced Edmonton International Raceway. Kelly, what comes up for you now in 2019? Are you going to try and defend that title? What's the plans?
The plans, it's still in discussion, but ultimately, you know, after seeing how successful the Canadian Short Track Nationals were this year, I think, you know, that's my goal, is to get there, you know, by any means possible, and contend to win for that race at Jukasa.
Oh, man, you wait till you see this place. I don't know whether you've seen Jukasa yet or not, but I'll tell you what, Kelly, you're going to be a fan, I guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched the race on speed51.com, and, you know, it just seems like an incredible facility, and I really like, you know, the people running that track, and having Alex Nagy on there is awesome, and I'm really excited to see what they're going to be able to do and really see this Canadian Short Track Nationals develop into something really special in the short track world.
Kelly, were you at the late model race, the super late model race, that was the same day as the NASCAR Pinty's series race at Wyatt Group, or was that just, that was a local Saturday night show, right, when the Pinty series was there this year?
Yeah, yeah, that was on a Wednesday, and so, yeah, no, I didn't end up going to that one.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, busy, you know, c- couldn't get out there for the middle of the week, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I was there. I was looking back, and you know, I was trying to look for your car, and I was like, man, I don't think Kelly was there. but that makes complete sense. I got you.
Yeah, and might not recognize it either. We switched to a new paint scheme this year. Got a new wrap on the car, and you know, thanks to DC Signs and helping us out with that. We went with quite a different look. We colored our cars in purple this year, and I think, you know, if I'm superstitious, maybe that has something to do with it.
Now, when you show up to Jucasa with a purple, white, and black race car with the number 8 on the door, there's going to be another purple, white, and black number 8 on the door, and it's going to be Kent Vincent from the opposite side of the country. But it must be something with purple and the number 8.
Yeah.
Kent Vincent is a great guy out of the East Coast, and definitely there's no similarity, you know, other than the colors and the number. But definitely, you ask him, purple is definitely a superstitious good color.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it must be. And you know, I didn't know that about Kent. I think that'll be pretty interesting, and definitely make it hard for the announcers, I think, to discern between the two of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool problem to have, I guarantee it. It's going to be awesome. Any K&N, any Penty's races maybe sneak into that 2019 schedule?
As of now, I don't believe so. Always looking. You know, I'd obviously love to run any sort of NASCAR race, but right now our focus is on the late model program. And you know, if something did come up my way that I could do in the NTs or K&N, obviously I'd take it. But for now, yeah, we're just going to focus on our late model program.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all, my friend. Nothing wrong with that at all. Sponsors on that number 8, championship number 8, I imagine you got some help on there that you'd probably like to thank.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really want to thank Swan Rentals and Western Camp Services. You know, they've been supporting me, you know, pretty much since the beginning and for a lot of years. And you couldn't do it without them. And so also I'd like to thank Worksite Construction, Passionate Caterers, and Hitchworks.
Awesome stuff, my friend. Good job. And fans can stay up with you on social media. I see you got everything covered off there. You're on Facebook and all that good stuff, right?
Yep, absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it.
Well, we'll see how things develop throughout the course of the holidays, and we'll try and catch up with you again before the green flag goes in the air. We'll see how the plans all shook out. And we'll get your schedule, I don't know, thinking February, somewhere around there. We'll dial you back up and get you back on RTR.
Awesome. That sounds great. I look forward to talking with you guys again, and I really, really appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Absolutely, my friend. Happy holidays. Have a good one. Be safe, and can't wait to see where you're going to end up. And hopefully we catch you at Jucasa. That'd be cool, too.
Thanks. You, too. Yeah, I hope to be there.
You bet. That's Kelly Adbrill. He is a champion. Joe, another one of those champions from across Canada.
Definitely. The Western Speed Association seems like a great series. And you know, when you look at that's a great thing to hear, you know, that he's taking a look at the Jucasa race. Obviously, there was, you know, some Western lookers last year. But I imagine you're going to see that number spike up quite a bit after seeing the success and as well the bump in pay. It'll be interesting.
It sure will. We're going to hit another break here. When we come back, Junior, we're going to go to Manitoba. We're going to bring in, how about a 51-time champion? Mike Belkin's going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, Michael Waltrip here from Michael Waltrip Racing. Thanks for joining us on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
Dance to the
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Sirius XM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy.
Crazy on Aussie's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. Sirius XM 38.
Also available online and on the Sirius XM app.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Woo! It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
How you doing, Bubba J? I'm doing pretty good. What have you been doing today? Same thing I do every weekend, just watching NASCAR and drinking beer.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. No NASCAR on this
weekend. You dipped
into
the archives this weekend.
I did, yeah. I had to jump in there and grab a little bit.
You grabbed the... I can't even believe that.
Sure.
Where did you find the time to find all that?
Well, I just
hunted Chevy Chase. You got Chevy Chase going off with the National Lampoon's rant, and now you pull out Bubba J.
Well...
What's coming up on the next break? Tell me, Kimo Sabe.
You'll have to just hang around and find out. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to bring in our next guest, and he is a champion. Red River Co-op Speedway is where this championship was decided, and let's welcome in the driver. The number 10 was Soda, Dirt Late Model champion. We got Mike Balkin with us. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Outstanding, guys. Good evening. How's everything going?
Excellent. Great catching up with you. First time on Race Time Radio. I can't believe we haven't had you on this show before tonight, but... We got you tonight, and that's a good thing. Man, it sounds like it was a dynamite season for you, bud.
Yeah, it was a great year. You know, this is our 35th year of racing, and we ran 48 shows and had no DNFs and had 44 top fives, and just things got clicking at the beginning of the year, and we just kept rolling along and keeping our maintenance program up, and it was a lot of fun this year. Really enjoyed it, and, you just wonder if you can keep doing it. That's all.
that's the key, isn't it? Keep that ball rolling.
Exactly.
So off the top of the show, my dad, of course, sitting across from me, he said that you have 51 championships,
and you're the
first guy that you know you got you should be shy in saying 51 championships because that really dates you. You know, if you have five championships, you could be 25 years old or you could be 50 years old. When you start saying numbers like 51 championships, we know you're an old guy.
You're right. And I am an old guy. I'm in my 50s now. And I'll tell you one thing. As you get older, running against these guys, I've been racing longer than they've been alive. So it's, I am definitely an old guy. And but you know, this sport keeps you young and it keeps you sharp. And you know, it's as you guys know, racing is a great family sport, and it does take up a lot of time, but it definitely keeps you sharp and keeps you mobile. That's for sure.
Mike, we have to introduce you, if you haven't met already, Gary Elliott from the province of Ontario. Here we call him the Iron Man, and we call him the Iron Man for good cause. I believe Gary is either just turned 70 or heading there, and this guy's got like 1,200, I've got a stat somewhere around here, 1,284 or 85 nights that he has raced. Can you believe that? Like, that is just unheard of.
Wow, that's a lot. Yes, that's impressive.
Well, you're that same kind of guy, only you're young yet. You're in your 50s, man. I can see you going for a long time yet.
Well, we'll see how it goes. You know, it takes so many people and to race, as you guys know, and we're very fortunate. We've got good sponsors, which help with the cost, and we've got an excellent crew, which donate their time. None of my guys are paid. They're all volunteer, and I'm just very, very fortunate to have the guys that I've had all over all these years. And our turnover, it's been minimal. We just try to make it fun and enjoyable and respect everybody and keep the drama to a minimum.
Yeah, and that's tough to do sometimes, right? Because you get a bunch of competitive people. I know everybody's on one crew and one team, but, hey, when it's competition, and that's what you're looking for, is to have competitive people so they know what it takes to go out and win championships and races. And, Mike, it sounds like you surround yourself with the right kind.
Very, very fortunate that way, yes. Quite lucky, and I definitely don't take it for granted. And there isn't a night where the guys leave and I don't thank them. And we try to, like I say, have a good time and be very respectful to one another. And, you know, they're taking a lot of time away from their families and their lives to do what we all love to do. So I've been blessed for 35 years to have such good people around us. And it's shown in our results and how we conduct ourselves. I'm pretty proud of our operation.
Mike, let's cover off a little bit of a highlight reel here of the season that was 2018. Obviously, with 44 starts, you know, this is a two-hour program, so we don't want to talk about every single race. But, you know, looking at the races that you attended this year, cover off top level just kind of where you raced and where you hauled around, because you didn't just race 44 races in one single little area.
Correct, yeah. Basically, our weekly program, we get back Sunday night from the weekend. Monday, we get everything washed up. Tuesday is maintenance, everything. Wednesday is your day off to just cut your grass and get life figured out. And then we race Thursday at home at Red River Co-op Speedway here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, every Thursday night. And they've got a great program. They got four or five classes. Very well done. A lot of corporate sponsors attend the events. Great crowds. Well-lit place. Good announcers. It's just really improved a lot over the last 35 years. Just a super facility. So we race at home on Thursday nights. As soon as the races are over, we get loaded up and we head south. And we cross the border that evening. And we're about 2 hours south of us is Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Yep.
So we unload Friday morning and get our maintenance done. And then Friday night we race at River City Speedway in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That's just a phenomenal facility. If you guys have ever get the opportunity to go there, it's a quarter mile high bank dirt track, and it's one of the few dirt tracks in North America where they run super late models and 410 sprint cars on the card every Friday night. So
wow.
It's a great show. They pack the stands every night. Just a good following of race fans at Grand Forks. And then Saturday night we race with the Northern Late Model Racing Association, which is the NLRA. And they run at various different racetracks throughout the Midwest there in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, all in that area, Wisconsin. And we basically hit more or less a different track every weekend. And that's our Saturday. And quite often it'll blend into a Sunday somewhere. Then, of course, Sunday or Monday, we're hitting the windshield and heading back home and ready to hit the redo button again on Monday.
So you only have one day of Honeydew List?
Honeydew is done on Wednesday, and believe me, if you interviewed my wife, I don't always seem to get that done until racing season's over. But
we're with you.
You know, my wife was brought up in racing. Her father, Luke Kennedy, is a Hall of Famer, great sprint car racer, and her brother's son, Thomas Kennedy, is a well-accomplished sprint car racer as well, and you know, so my wife was brought up with it, and she's very supportive of what we do. And my daughter, Amber, who has started her racing career when she was 10, just like I did, she's done some great things, and she's living in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. And I'm sure you guys are aware she's the first Canadian female to win a NASCAR sanctioned race in the USA a few years ago. So she's following her dreams and running her racing career, and we're definitely a racing family.
That's
absolutely
cool.
Yes, we've kept our eye on Amber. I can assure you that we've had her on the program a number of times, and look forward to getting her back on the show. What's she doing down in North Carolina now? Is she pursuing those racing dreams? Is she going to get back behind the wheel this year? I know ARCA was one of those things she was looking at for Daytona a while back. Is that right. Maybe on the in the future for Amber?
It's very possible. We'll probably know more in the next 10 to 14 days, but it looks very possible. Things look really good. She did a little bit of driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports this past summer in a super late model, and she was involved in a TV show which will be on CMT this coming year called Racing Wives, and she's along with Samantha Busch. The two Bush brothers, wives, and basically it's following the wives' side of the racing and NASCAR. And Amber's piece of it is her following her dreams and showing what it, you know, the difficulties, the struggles, the enjoyment, and the effort she's got to put forward to do what she's trying to do. So she was lucky enough to get asked to do this, and she got involved with it. And the filming of that show, they filmed the full season last year, and that took about 3 months, 2.5 months for it. It took a lot of the time out of the seat of a race car, but she's still very involved with the racing in the Charlotte area. She's done a lot of racing-related shows, TV shows, and guests on a few different various shows throughout that area. And I know she's done one for the gentleman's name, for a fellow from Canada here, a fishing show, Spins and Skins, I believe it's called.
She
did that. She's keeping busy. She's got herself around a great bunch of network of friends there, and she's living the dream, as they say.
You gotta love it. That's the way life's supposed to be, right?
Right. No, definitely. And at that level, the funding is just insane. And she's done it all on her own. And as her parents, we're just proud of how she's conducted herself and how she's she's done what she's done, and it's been a good movie for mom and dad to watch so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, kind of cool when you could be at home and watch her on TV. That's cool.
Very good, very good. Yeah.
Well, he's not at home though. He's watching it in the motorhome between
races.
Yeah, between Winnipeg and North Dakota.
I'll tell you what.
We put a smart TV in our trailer, so when we're at the racetrack, often she'll be on doing something, so we can follow her. And my wife flies back and forth quite often between my racing and her racing, and we're definitely keeping an eye on what's going on.
Nice.
You gotta love it. Mike, there isn't much. The world of outlaw late model guys wouldn't hold much on you guys. You're 44 nights. I know they do quite a few nights with the world of outlaws, but not many more than what you're doing, my friend.
No, fortunately for us, though, we're a couple hours between racetracks, where they can be a day or two between racetracks. They definitely put on the miles, those guys, and they come into our area usually in July, and I'm good friends with a number of them, and I actually work with Morgan Bagley, who been on the Outlaws trail for the last few years. I worked with him last winter in Florida, and just kind of hung out with them and did some racing, and good bunch of guys. That's a tough grind what they're doing there, but they're professionals, and they do a great job.
Yeah, they sure do. I've caught up with them a few times when they've been up here in Canada. Always exciting, whether it's the dirt late models or whether you're watching the sprint cars. They just come unglued. Incredible show. We ever going to get you to us weekend here? We got the World Outlaws probably coming back again this year. That'd be kind of cool. Do you ever get into a sprint car? Do you get any aspirations of maybe touring this far?
You know what? I have driven a sprint car. I drove a sprint car from 1995 to 2000. I enjoyed doing it. It was lots of fun. I have no desire to ever do it again. Amber did it for a few years. She drove had a really nice ride for Apex Speed Sports, driving a 410 sprint car, and won the NOSA Rookie of the Year that year in 2013. But I don't really have an inkling or a desire to go back into sprint cars, but we were in Ashwiken about 3 years ago, and Amber drove for the Zero car, the owner of the racetrack.
Glenn Stires, yep.
Glenn Stires, super great guy. She went into the Canadian Nationals and qualified in through her heat, made the dash, and ran really competitive in the feature, and I was very impressed with the facility, the people there, and it's a first-class place, and I'm glad I got to go there. I cannot really see myself racing there myself, but great facility, super cool to be there, and Glenn's got a good deal going on there, that's for sure. And we were honored that he invited Amber to come there to race. It was real cool that weekend.
Yeah, super facility, the Big O. We just love making it out there on a yearly basis. And how about the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals? What an event. That is a real cool event.
Huge event, yeah. We were very impressed. And we unfortunately, it rained out. The Saturday show rained out, and they ran Sunday. So it got stretched out to be a little longer weekend, but very impressed with the facility, and it's cool they run that event there. Really cool.
Yeah, too much. Sponsorship on your car, on that number 10, it's got to be, you got a lot of, you must have some help on that number 10 to do what you do. Give them a shout.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's a fellow named Phil McSimmons, and he used to be one of my competitors back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, and I drove for him in 96. And 97, and at that point he decided he wanted to get out of it, and we sold the equipment off, and the following year he came back and he sponsored me that year and every year since then, and he's been a big supporter of our program. And Enns Brothers, which is a large agriculture John Deere dealership in Manitoba here, has got, I believe, 10 or 11 locations. They help us out a lot. We've got Mission Transport, Emory Demolition, Scott Bailey Engines, and we're very fortunate. All the product people that we have that help us out, right from, you know, Wilwood Brakes to VA Headers, Penske Shocks, IBAC Springs, FK Rod End, Snap-on Tools. We just got a lot of product support from all those people. We got our good friend Bert at Bert Transmission in Quebec that's been helping us out with transmissions for my whole career. So we are very, very fortunate to have the people that we have help us out, and we've had them for so long, and we couldn't do it without their help.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're fortunate to have a driver like you and the team like you guys got put together. Putting successful teams on a racetrack is tough to do, and Mike, it sounds like you guys have got it dialed in. 2019, is it going to be to defend 2018? How are the plans looking?
You know, really, our plan is the same. This year we didn't plan on running as much. We were hoping to run maybe 20, 25 shows, and with Amber's direction changing a little bit, and we were starting to run good, so we kind of kept going with it, and we were at 49, and we kind of started looking, you know what, we'll try to get this done, and we managed to capture two championships this year to get to 50 and 51, and our plan next year is more or less the same. We're going to start out at the beginning of the year, just kind of see what happens, and just enjoy racing, and we're no set goals right now. We're pleased with where we're at, as long as we're having fun. That's all we can really ask for.
I've got a funny story that you mentioned. You mentioned Burt Transmissions, and just a funny, comical, you know, racing story here. But of course, I came out of working on asphalt super late models and late models and you know, limited late models all across Ontario here. But we were at Barrie Speedway, and there was a guy that had a Burt tranny. And I walked over and I looked at it. I had never seen one before, other than, you know, I'd seen the logo, of course, in like magazines and things like that. But there was a competitor there, and I said, "Wow, is that thing ever? It's tiny, right? It's just a small transmission." And he goes, "Yeah, feel the weight of it." And I bent down and I picked it up like it was a transmission, but it's the weight of a smartphone.
43 pounds. It's awesome.
I just about threw it through the roof of the hauler, and so the very next week, the team that I worked on had one.
They're awesome, and I got to also give a shout out to Stephen Kirky at Kirky Fabrications. He's done our seats since as long as I can remember, and just a great product. And he services a lot of the racing needs all over North America. And I obviously, you know, that being a Canadian product along with Burt stuff, we really like to support the Canadian builders, and they build a great product, and they've got a great, both of those companies got great reputations all over racing, all over North America.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good job, man. And this has been great catching up with you tonight. Look forward to a little bit later, early in 2019. What do you say we get you back on here and we'll lay out how everything's going to look for fans that are following the 10?
I would love that. That'd be fantastic. And if anybody wants to reach out to us, we're on Facebook, Mike Balkan Racing. And, you know, if you got any questions or concerns, please feel free to get a hold of us through our Facebook. And just keep racing. Enjoy. Let's keep our local racing alive, because, as you know, watching the whole racing and how it's been changing at the top level. The local level has gotten better and better and stronger. The crowds have been better. The car counts have been better. And everybody's just got to remember to support the local racetrack.
Absolutely. Well said, Mike Belkin. Absolutely. We agree 100%. And it's looking good for 2019 here on this side of the border, isn't it?
It is. Very, very. It's awesome. We got a lot of great race fans in Canada, that's for sure.
You want to believe it. Mike, thanks so much for the time tonight. You have happy holidays. Make sure you say hi to Amber for us, will you?
I will, for sure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to doing it whenever you'd like to do it again. Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Mike Belkin, the driver of the number 10, a 51-time champion, Junior. Try that on for size.
That's big.
That's huge.
That's all you could say is big, and Canadian sprint car or Canadian Hall of Fame, Motorsports Hall of Fame worthy. 100%.
Oh, guaranteed. Yes. I guarantee it. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, J.R. Fitzpatrick, the 2018 APC champion, is going to join us. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Dave Dykstra, sprint driver of the 5B CorPac Oshawegan Sprints, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
They don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25, Classic Rewind brings you the second generation.
Let the good times roll.
Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music,
cool.
A lot of new outlaw country music.
Cool.
We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Get ready to full time, guys.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. If by chance you have missed any of tonight's show, and trust me when I say you've missed quite a bit, if you haven't listened to it, you can download it free on iTunes. Just so you know, get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, and you can download the whole thing and have a listen to it. But I digress. Here we go. Back to the hotlines. Let's welcome in another Canadian champion. This guy drives the number 84, and he took him to school in the APC series right here in the province of Ontario. Let's welcome him. Welcome in J.R. Fitzpatrick. What's going on tonight there, kid? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Are you still south, or are you up here freezing like we are?
No, I'm up here. And you know what? The weather's actually not too bad where we are. Not much snow going on here.
I want to correct you, too. He doesn't just drive the 84.
Oh.
He drives the 84A and the 84B.
Yeah, he's got a couple of them.
He's got, yeah, it depends on the day, but he's got the A and the B. It's not just 84. You got to go
And there could be a C.
And there could be a C.
There could
You
be.
Never know.
You never know.
Down the line, there might be a C.
JR, this has got to be one of those seasons that you look back on and say, wow, we did it. And, man, you really did something this year winning that APC series. That's a tough deal.
Yeah, and especially after last year. I mean, it was a really tough year. I mean, I know, you know, I keep going on about it, but it's probably one of the most disappointing seasons of my entire career. But, you know, it made everybody stronger, and it's not necessarily anybody's fault. It's just kind of bad luck, and just, you know, not all the ducks were in the right row. So to come back on our own stuff this year and really put a lot of work in, I mean, all winter, really, organizing the shop, building a new pick cart, and just having everything the way we wanted it. And it really paid off from a consistency standpoint, because I feel that's why we won the deal, is we were just most consistent.
Yeah, and being up there all the time, let's face facts here. The 9 car of Brendan Watson, that guy in 2017 had absolutely everybody covered, and it's got to be daunting from a team perspective in the off season. Leading into 2018, looking at that number 9, saying, "Wow, if we're gonna win this title, we gotta top that guy," and that's tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Brandon, his dad, and their whole team do a great job at the track. You know, Brandon's a good driver, and McCall takes him a really good piece every week, and you know, you're racing against really a cup style package there. You know, a good driver. And Mike is probably one of the smartest crew chiefs in all of Canada, really. I mean, he builds awesome race cars, and you know, that thing was really dialed in for 2 years. Because, you know, he was by far probably the quickest car everywhere we went this year. Showed a lot of speed. It's just I feel now APC's done a really good job in the last 2 to 3 years of making the rule book really black and white, because, you know, there was a lot of gray before, so... I feel everybody was on a much more even playing field this year, and I got to credit Daryl and his tech staff and Luke and the entire APC series for making that possible, because at the end of the day, you got to make sure everybody's on the same playing field.
Yeah, you do. And for the competitor base, every one of those teams that's showing up to a race, and I don't care which race it is, they have to be showing up with the intent, or at least the feeling, that they have a shot to win that race. Otherwise, they're not going to show up, right? So it's vitally important to have the rules package and the enforcement. Everything has to go hand in hand there. And then the teams will actually have a shot to win a race.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, you got to have fun. And if you feel that, you know, there's guys that are, you know, either outspending you or showing up with cars that aren't proper, that takes the fun out of it for a lot of people. So I really like what the tour has done the last, you know, 2 years of my involvement, more so this year because it's my first full-time season. You know, they're really doing great things, and I'm really looking forward to getting back there this year and being a part of it.
JR, talking, you know, about the season, you know, not this season, but the season prior, I remember sitting on this very program and talking to you in the off season, and you were excited at the progress that you had made in the shop getting ready for 2018. And then we talked to you all the way through the year, and that excitement stayed with you. That's hard to do for a young racer that is building his program. Obviously, you had success, but the excitement that you showed at the beginning of the season was the same rolling into the end. And did you have more fun this year than ever before in your racing history?
I think so. You know, even like when I got the opportunity to go down south and even race the Pinty Series and even Outlaw stuff, you know, like, yeah, the stuff's faster and maybe, I'm not even going to say more intense, but let's just say faster. Because the APC series is extremely intense when you're that close to all the racers, even in practice. I mean, it's pretty wild how close everybody gets. But I was excited just because I was fully committed to finally into a pro late model style car. And we had two good cars sitting here. And just being committed to something 100% gives me an amazing feeling. And knowing I can go to Flamborough and race on off weekends at the beginning of the year because we had issues later in the year and we decided to take time off. But I was just making sure that I could be in a pro late model style car as much as possible to get comfortable. And once I started getting comfortable, I started having fun.
We're with the APC champion, J.R. Fitzpatrick. J.R., give us a highlight. What was your highlight of 2018 when you look back at the season that was? Was there a moment where you where it stood right out and you went, damn, that was good?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, you know, all the races were a lot of fun. But, you know, obviously the first win is always very special. And I always kind of figure to be a Flamborough because I have so many wins and so many laps around Flamborough Speedway. But honestly, I don't really have a favorite. They're all pretty wild and pretty intense, but I'm going to say just the entire season because really, you know, the 9 and the 84 car, we both put on really good shows everywhere we went. I mean, Jocasta with two to go, you didn't know who was going to win. And Flamborough, we may have beat and banged a little bit, but we put on a good show, and same for Sunset. So I think all the races were just as equal special to me as even the first win.
JR, I want to ask this question because I don't think we've asked it on the air. But there was a lot of people at Delaware Speedway. What happened to you at Delaware Speedway? It was a flat tire that ended up taking you out of contention right out of the gate, right?
Yeah, we got the pole,
yeah.
Obviously, and because of the way they do the inversion, which I like, it's more exciting. If you're higher up in points, you start farther back in the top 10. So Brandon and I were basically right behind each other, and I think it was the first two laps and whatnot. I was up to his door, and he basically just came down on me and cut the tire. But, it was disappointing. I was pretty upset about it. And, some people say it's a racing deal, but I looked at it a little differently. But it's just one of those things, you know, we had a great season, and I'm just glad that we basically had it locked up when we showed up at Delaware.
Yeah.
You don't get upset. I've never heard you upset yet.
Hey, I am way calmer than I used to be.
If we could give a most improved keeping a level head, most improved attitude award, J.R. Fitzpatrick gets that award this year.
Yeah,
150 million percent. You're the guy that took the biggest leap forward. I don't know whether you were at anger management classes, what you did, you know, through the off season, but hats off to you, man. You kept a level head all year. And we're having fun with it, and we're not saying anything bad by saying any of that. Because it was just, you know, it was part of your fire. That's what we all loved about you, was that you were fiery. You were still fiery this year. It's just
you never threw
a Hans device. You didn't throw
helmet.
You didn't throw a helmet.
It's because he's buying it now.
You didn't drive into anybody. It was a good year all in all.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, throw any haymakers. I didn't do anything this year.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
I think I just got out of the car once and just went, shoot.
Yeah. I know, that's a lot.
Oh, shucks.
JR, what's 2019 looking like? Is it going to be more of the same? What's the plans?
I mean, I got my cars for sale right now with hopes and plans of building some new equipment. You know, I think even if I don't sell, I might be able to squeeze in some time in the budget to maybe build one, but I'm hoping somebody at least buys one of these cars so I can build a new piece and go after it again. I mean, my stuff is not new by any means, but it's still really good equipment, and I got lots of spare parts. I mean, I have a really good package for anybody who wants to go APC racing, and for whatever reason, I just haven't had much interest in it, so you know, I might be back in the same piece. I might surprise the world. Who knows? Everything's kind of up in the air. We're kind of just organizing our shop and kind of looking at where we can improve. Because, yeah, we had a great season, we're not, but I'd like to win some more races. And there are still a lot of areas we can improve in as a team. The team itself has noticed that. It's not just me. So the nice thing about the few guys that I'm close with on the team are returning, and we're all looking at our flaws and going to try and improve some more.
Yeah, good stuff, because you know that there is a raft of competitors in that APC series and probably some new guys coming in that are all of the same opinion. They're all looking for the same thing, trying to get ready, and they want to go out there and they want to beat you in the 9 and the 81, and the list goes on and on. There's a lot of fiery competitors in the APC series, and everybody's going to be up in their game. I don't know how you guys are going to do it, because I believe what we've seen on the racetrack this year was second to none. So I don't know how you're going to improve on it, but good luck.
Well, like anything, there was a couple places we went to and the car wasn't really that good.
Sauble being one of them.
We lucked into just playing the patient game and riding around, and then the second sunset we were trying stuff and it didn't work. So, I mean, performance-wise we can improve, but just, I mean, little things like how we got the truck organized. You know, after going through a season and needing parts or needing to grab this, you find a way to make it easier to happen. And just, it's all little stuff, little things. You know, we need a new tent. We need some radios. Just all the little things really do make a big difference. And I really noticed that this year more than anything. So, you know, that's more or less just what we're doing, kind of just picking our way through our little list that we made all season and making sure that we can make our day go smoother.
JR, obviously last year rolling into the season at the beginning of the year, the talk was on everybody building new equipment. And there was a lot of people that showed up this year with a brand new piece under them without many laps. Are you seeing the same thing for next year? Are you hearing the same thing through the grapevine that there's a lot of guys building new equipment for next year?
Yeah, a friend of mine told me that MRE is building 14 new cars.
Wow.
Whether that's for APC, but the good rumor is that it's for the APC series and for the big special race. I mean, Pro Late Models is well and alive. I mean, you know, APC and APC series has really made this possible. I mean, let's face it, years ago, Flamborough was the only track that stayed committed to the Pro Late Model division, and there was like, what, five?
Yeah.
So it was a pretty gutsy move for Luke and all his staff to sit down and decide to pull them all together and get everyone to go race again. And look at it now. I mean, it's incredible. It's an amazing tour. It reminds me a lot of the old CASCAR days, and from what everyone says, like All-Star. I never got the race All-Star, so it reminds me a lot of the CASCAR stuff where, for the most part, everything is kind of like a spec. So everybody should be on very well the same equipment, and it's just better racing. I mean, you know, the big talk right now is that new body. I mean, yeah, everybody would love to have that new body. It looks amazing. And, yeah, it might be time for a change. But APC has committed to sticking with the APC committee rules, and I respect that. You know, don't feel that you have to be the forefront and move forward before everybody else. I feel that they're doing the right thing with sticking with ABC commitments to making things fair for everyone.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's going to be an exciting 2019, I can guarantee you. You lit the lamp in 2018, and congratulations on the championship. I know you guys worked hard at it, and we all can't wait to find out what all comes out in 2019. You guys are going to have a real good holiday there, JR, because you're going to have a busy 2019, buddy.
Yeah, I think Laura's getting sick of me being up at the house this much, but we're slowly going to start working our way back in the shop again after a few weeks off and keep improving, man. I'm counting down the days till our first test and then doing some Flamborough races again at the beginning of the year to get comfortable. Who knows what else? If other tracks start doing some prolate stuff, maybe I'll venture around and have some fun.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. JR, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
You want to believe it. There you go. Another champion, this time the APC Series, and JR and Junior, we are plum done, real close to being out of time already.
Definitely a great show, and Merry Christmas to everybody, because everybody's going to have a Christmas time coming up, getting ready for everything, just hats off to everybody that we talked to tonight. Of course, thanks to Cole and Mike and JR and Kelly as well, and the list goes on and on, but it was a lot of fun tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure was. We got more to come next week on the program. We'll do one more night of champions, and then we will take a quick break and have a holiday in there along with everybody. And I know we look forward to it. Next week, we're going to talk Oscar. that's what we're going to do. We've got a whole pile coming at you next week. But thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. That's going to do it for Junior and I, Susie Q here in the Racetime Radio studio, and, of course, all of our friends back at Sirius XM Channel 167. We'll catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy.